On for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, Friday, Cofield and Company, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar is the location. Mateo helping out with the setup down here. Willie Ramirez is in today as the company. Busy week that just passed, busy times coming up. It's never slow now. I feel like every Friday we come in, we're like, oh, okay, this is crazy. All the stuff that's going on. We were setting up and walking in here a little while ago at Treasure Island, and big crowd in the bar, in the restaurant, and even more people kind of standing along the railing. I was like, what is this, NFL Sunday? No. Euro. Not Copa, Euros, Portland, Portugal, and France in PKs. And Portuguese player did a little fake. I think it was 3-2 at that point in PKs with France leading. Did a little fake, stutter step, blew it, and that was it. France made all five of their PKs. So soccer cooking down here. We're going to bring in the Burbs, Patrick Berbert, in just a little bit. Risk supervisor down here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, and get into what's going on with the handle. Apparently the numbers are up. We'll get into some NBA free agency and time to odds, and obviously throughout the show we're going to talk about what happened yesterday in many different hot dog eating contests. Right out of the gates, though, before I bring Willie in, let's do a giveaway. 364-1100, 364-1100, two tickets. Top Rank Boxing at the Palms. Ticketmaster.com is where you get your tickets. Next weekend, Middleweight World Championship, Janabek and Mikhailovich. Two tickets right now. Ticketmaster.com is where you can get yours. We've got two tickets to Top Rank Boxing, Middleweight Title Fight, 364-1100, 364-1100, caller number 7. What's going on, Willie? Looking good? You got a compliment on the T-shirt. Nice job.
Yeah. Well, from the main man down there at the end.
Yes, Mateo.
Yeah. Aaliyah.
What's on the T-shirt,
Aaliyah? It's from a concert tour when the late, great Aaliyah, who I still refer to as the queen. Of course, this era in 2024, everybody refers to, what's her name again? Jay-Z's wife. So, in the meantime,
Beyonce.
I'm sitting here looking at, I got sidetracked here. Washington Mystics just posted their injury report. You know I'm dialed in when I see some WNBA. I'm already looking for lines tomorrow in Minnesota. Jesus. They come to Vegas and they just get wiped out on the scoreboard and in the injury room. So,
well, we got to break that down middle of the show because it is a different looking team. Kelsey Plum especially, so we'll get into that. Maybe how it applies to other people around the league. You mentioned the Queen, and there were a couple who stamped their record with some good numbers.
Mm.
Mickey Sudo, women's eating contest. Ebihara comes over from Japan, does 37. So what does that do? Just like it always did with Chestnut, right? You push the greats, they respond. So Mickey Sudo, 51 hot dogs. I sat there in stunned disbelief. It was awesome. We'll get to what hubby Nick Weary did. He had a really good day as well. But, you know, Mickey was on with us a couple weeks ago. She is a former Las Vegan, spent some time at UNLV. Highly educated woman. They've had a kid together. The only time she hasn't won, I think the last 11 years, was the time she was pregnant. So she's got 10 titles now, and she did 51 hot dogs. And if you watched, Willie, the 50 mark wasn't that easily eclipsed. The men's number was big for the winner, but it wasn't like eight guys went past 50. It may come to a point with Mickey where she starts crowing and says, you know what, I want to go after the men. Or do you just stay on the top of the mountain that you're on?
Well, couldn't she? Well, I guess that would be tough. Because the same day, you can't do it.
Can't do them back to back, right?
Yeah, you can't do it back.
I'm going to do 51 against the women, and then I'll do another 55 against the men.
I say, you know, because what was this year's championship number for the, for what
58.
Was the 58? Yeah, I think she could go for it. Because before, Joey Chestnut was hitting bigger numbers, right? He was and Kobayashi. They were hitting much bigger numbers.
Yeah. But he never got to. Chestnut got better and better, but really because he was being pushed. You know, he had guys moving into the 50s, and then right. he started going high 60s into the 70s, which
That's
is
what I'm saying.
Still incredible.
So now with the number sitting at 58, I mean, I could see it, her taking a shot, and then they have something to promote.
Yeah. I mean, she already does it. They don't have men's and women's fields in almost every other MLE competition.
Right.
So she goes head-to-head with the men, and oftentimes, you know, she'll win some contests. She'll finish second, third, fourth. She's awesome.
I still think that – I think I brought this up way back in the past when we've had competition eating – competitors on. I would like to do a wing contest. Now, when they do the wing contest, because you follow this in dearly, is it just regular wings, or is it souped up with the buffalo sauce?
I don't know. I don't know if they put sauce on or not. So we'll have to look up
mild, medium, hot.
I think
gotta be mild.
I think it was WIP in Philly. I think it's done now, but they hosted the Wing Bowl, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it got to the point where it was a whole party. It got to the point where they did it at, I think back then it was called the FU Center, First Union Center, which I always said was perfect for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They would do it in front of thousands of people, and the grand champion then, believe it or not, was actually a woman.
Have you ever...
Molly Schuyler pushed past like 450 wings.
In how long?
I don't have to look up the time, man. It was crazy.
Oh,
they did hundreds and hundreds. When you were saying it, I thought you were like joking amongst the show.
Have you ever done any kind of, like, said, okay, let's have a...
The only thing we ever did was the Hakeem Olajuwon eat 100 McNuggets in an hour.
Okay.
And we tried it in studio during the show. Mm. And I think we gave it all 3 hours. And only Adam Hill finished. I forget who, maybe Taylor Byrne, who was part of the company at the time, did like 60-plus. I did like 35. I didn't feel great. And it was also... You know, a lot of the challenge with the food eating, if you have a little more time, is the consistency of the food changes. So with nuggets, once they get all steamed, the crispiness goes out, you know, on the outside, and then it gets a little rubbery.
Yes.
But those guys, I give Adam credit; he did it. I mean, he ran to the bathroom immediately, and I think put it back up. Which we got to, we'll get to this later on. If you watch the lemonade chugging contest, it was monumental on many, many fronts. So locally. Mm-hmm. Our pals down, and we had talked about weenies and bikinis for weeks. They did a hot dog eating contest for women in bikinis. They gave them 15 minutes. Now, I'll take you back because I don't know how much you've been listening to the show on a regular basis, but you remember last year we talked to Molly Schuyler, we talked to Raina Wong.
I remember.
And Raina Wong, you may not, you love
We
Raina.
Follow one another,
I
still got a crush on her.
Hello. Raina, I brought up Schuyler and Raina to Mickey Sudo. I was like, hey, do you want like some better competition out there? And she's like, well, that'd be interesting. And then she started to kind of stumble and stammer. She's like, well, I didn't know you were going to ask me about this. She's like, I'm not going to, Raina shows a lot. Random reference to, or a pointed reference to me saying, hey, what has she shown you? And she was like, Raina shows a lot. And I'm not going to talk about her. So then I'll reveal something that was off the record, but I feel comfortable enough now that the contest has passed. I know.
Okay.
I know. It was a text. She said she referenced Raina as a jump cutter. I think that's how she put it, which I think means that there's an accusation out there that Raina is – her videos are very heavily edited.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm sorry to – I just violated the eater
jump
journalist
cutter.
Trust. Let me see how she put it.
Interesting phrase there.
I don't think they care.
Weenies and bikinis. So Kahlua would have been welcome out there.
Sure. They did. You're right. I didn't see on the end of the table. They had a wiener dog, which, by the way, if they didn't, I'm joking. If they did, I think a wiener dog could do. Raina won with 15 hot dogs. What do I have to enter? 15 or 14? She won with 15 hot dogs, but it was 15 minutes.
Mm. How long do they have in the other one?
10. Joey Chestnut, who we'll get to, at Fort Bliss, at 5 minutes. So my thoughts that Raina could give Mickey Sudo some competition, unless she was holding back on this group.
I don't think so.
15 and 15 minutes.
15 and 15. Mickey did 51.
Second place was 37 in the women's. I think third, I can't remember if Michelle Lesko did 30 or 23, but that's where it was.
How many do you think you could do?
Hot dogs?
Yeah.
Maybe in
15 minutes.
Oh, in 15? Maybe 10. I've never tried I've never tried it wetting the buns. I think that changes the whole game.
I was just going to say, if you wet the buns, I'm out, because I just can't imagine that. No. We went on a road trip once when my son was in high school with the wrestling team, and we'd go down to Tempe to ASU campus. Every Friday they did wrestling with the Devils. Anthony Robles, the one-legged wrestler who won the national championship,
right.
He would wrestle with the kids. We went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and me and one of the kids, we did a challenge, and we agreed to stop each at 49. But in no time, we just in a sitting. Just kept bringing them out. That was when you could order one by one. Like, it was like 10 cents a wing, 15 cents, whatever it was. So we just kept ordering them, by sixes or whatever.
What these people do is incredible. And again, I always search Twitter when they're going on. And there's still, hundreds and hundreds of anonymous gutless punks who are up there saying this is disgusting. They're clowns. Like, no, they're athletes. They actually train.
Yeah.
If you look at them now, they're all shredded up. Nick Weary's a freak.
Who's the husband-wife team that
Right there, Nick Weary.
Okay.
Nick Weary's a bodybuilder. So we'll recap the big contest. We'll talk about what Chestnut did yesterday. Yeah, it's the 5th of July, of course. We're going to recap what happened on the 4th. Hot dog eating is maybe the most important sport on this show. Up next, very important as well, UNLV football as we get ready for the season. Camp opens up in early August, and we're going to talk to the running backs coach, Cornell Ford.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling out on a Friday. No conflict Friday, no arguing today between Willie and I. It's all going to be friendly. Treasure Island. We just spent about 10 minutes breaking down some of the hot dog contest. Oh, we'll do another half an hour. That's just who we are. Very important sport, very important sport. We are less than 60 days away from kickoff. Summer blows by. Football is basically year-round. UNLV will kick off on August 31st. In Houston. We've been previewing the team with the position coaches each and every week, and this week we want to talk about the running backs, and Cornell Ford is in with Cofield and Willie. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
We're good. Did you get to actually enjoy 4th of July, or is this whole football thing turned into every single day of the year?
Well, we did do a little football yesterday, just had a couple players over, but we did have some time just to chill a little bit and just me and the wife, and enjoyed the 4th.
Nice, nice. All right, well, let's get into this preview of the run game and the running backs and the personnel, because it's changed a lot. But let's start by going back first, and let's talk about the production a year ago. You know, third, I guess, technically in the country in rushing touchdowns, which is amazing. 39 touchdowns, end of the year, still averaging, 170 yards per game. That sounds immensely successful, but I know you guys want to get better back there in terms of production. So tell me about last year and then things you guys want to improve on.
Well, I mean, you start a program, you come in, you always want to try to establish the run. And we had a number of guys that helped get our run game going, and obviously we had a lot of success with getting the ball into the end zone. So I thought we had a good start. Got to do a better job of finishing down the stretch, in those tough games at the end of the season. But we're happy where it started. Now we got to take that next step, and I think a lot more explosive plays are needed this year. We feel like we've got some guys that can make some plays, be every down backs, and I'm anxious to see what they do this season.
We had some small guys last year, and we're going to talk about Jet Thomas in a second. But if you look at the room and what you added to it, it's a group of big fellas, some sizable dudes. And while Vincent Davis did a pretty good job last year and Courtney Reese was a good program player for years, I want you to talk about the collection here between guys being brought in who are experienced, and Michael Allen and James, and then true freshmen and Greg Burrell and Devin Green, and I don't know, man, when the little guy is Michael Allen at 5'11", 210, that's a pretty big running back room.
Yeah, our size has gotten better. Nothing bad to say about last year's group, because they were productive, and they did what they could do. And certainly Jet's coming back, and he'll be a big part of that. The most experienced guy coming back, but sometimes surprising to me, because we say Jet's experienced and he's only been here for about maybe eight months. But he's got a lot of playing experience and had some success last season. And then we got some bigger guys that they can come in and contribute to our game plan And that size, I think, will help us down the stretch. DJ Jones, who's a kid that didn't play last year, was redshirted. But I think he had a really, really good summer. He's had a really good summer. He had a really good spring and made some plays in the spring. And he's one of our bigger guys as well. And then Michael Allen, the two transfer kids coming in, Michael Allen and Kylan James, two very athletic guys that are looking for a second chance and second opportunity. They both bring a lot of ability to the table. And then our two high school kids are really going to be pretty good football players. And both one has been here, was here in the spring, and the other one just got here. Greg Burrell, the local kid, I thought he had a really good spring and getting his feet wet and learning. Learns really well, picks up things well, fast, and very athletic. But still got a ways to go. And the other young man, Devin Green, is going to be a guy that I think down the road is going to really, really help us as well. Very athletic. But he's been here for a couple of weeks, and he's just still trying to learn the system. So we got a lot of potential, and but I think the explosive plays in this group, there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, Burrell got a lot of action in the spring game. He was very active in practice. When you see a freshman running back come in, what are a couple of things you look for? And you're like, they got to have this. And then when you see it, you're like, okay, we might have something here. Maybe they get the kind of playing time and action that a guy like Jet Thomas got. What do you need to see from freshmen?
Wow, well, every freshman that I recruit, I tell them all the same. I mean, I'm looking for an every down guy. Guy that can obviously, especially with the ball in his hands, but can he block? Can he be physical and protect the quarterback? And can he catch the ball out of the backfield? And those, I think, the more you can do all three of those things, the quicker you can find yourself getting on the football field. Obviously, you got to be able to pick up our system, and learning from that perspective is always tough for freshmen coming from high school. But the quicker you can do that, learning the game and learning our system, and then just being physical, more than anything else, is can you physically handle the heat? And are you strong enough to be able to do it? Some guys just aren't developed, they're not strong enough to play as freshmen. And some will show you that they're tough enough. They might not be strong enough, but they're tough enough, and they're willing to stick their face in and sometimes get their rear end kicked. But they show you that they've got that effort and that toughness about themselves, that they can get themselves on the field and do some special things. So I think the group's a pretty good group.
Speaking with Cornell Ford, UNLV running back coach here on Cofield & Company, ESPN Las Vegas. So, Cornell, I'm going to play devil's advocate, someone who's been here for a long time, seen a lot of UNLV football programs, seen successful ones, but I've never, or I don't want to say never, but it's very rare I see back-to-back. And last year the talk was that the conference was down. Why is this year going to be different in that UNLV can repeat in terms of being a contender?
Wow, that's the question. That's the challenge. I think kids have done the work and done all the things that we've asked them to do. But this year is going, I think, will be different just because I think that the competition is different and it's probably a little tougher. The first test is a great test for us. I think it'll say a lot about us and our program. Can you go on the road in someone else's backyard and play football, regardless if they're good or not good, which I think Houston will be good. They've got a lot of changes there. But anytime you go on the road, particularly in Big 12 country, that'll say a lot about how mature we are, how physical we are, and can you play and make tough plays down the stretch on the road. It's always the toughest thing to do, I think. And we were able to do that this past season, and now the challenge is can we come out the gate doing it. But I like the group, and I like where they're at, and I like what their work ethic this spring and this summer so far. But you never really know until the real bullets start flying. So we'll see what we got.
A guy who is an asset for the student athletes to look up to. He's a great mentor. I've known him since he played at UNLV, being Hunky Cooper. How is he an asset to the other coaches?
Well, I can say this. I don't know what his, what he does with the other coach. I know for me, anything and everything that I've ever needed since I've been here, my short stay here, is I've always go down and I always go down and knock on his door. I call him Mr. Vegas. Mr. Vegas has always come through for me. Yeah. If he does have the answer, he can find the answer. And I think he's such a valuable asset for our program. And man, I'm so happy that he's here and he's helping us, because without him, it would be really tough.
One more question for you on the coaching staff. So I'm curious about Brennan Marion. I know that he's become the fascination across America with as far as OCs are concerned. And during the offseason, I see plenty of highlights. I know that he shares them on his social media. And I'm not knocking the guy, but what I'd like to know is, with a young mind like that and knowing his aspirations are to become a head coach, I ask you again, playing devil's advocate, why can we believe that he's not believing the headlines that are out there about him, and he's bought in for the philosophy of this program?
Wow. Well, I think this is of Coach Marion. Mm-hmm. He understands our challenge that we're trying, where we're trying to go. And I thought we had a really good meeting probably about 2 weeks ago. He walked in and he set the standard. And I was so impressed. By far the best meeting I think he's had since I've been here with our squad. And he challenged them. He just flat out said, we need to do more. We need to see more. We need to see older kids in the building. And he set the standard and challenged our guys. And so I don't believe he's reading the headlines. I think he understands exactly where we are and what we're trying to get done as a staff. And he's meeting the challenge. So. And I think that set the standard for the rest of the staff as well, which we're all there. We all understand what we want. And, you know, getting there is one thing, but now you got to be able to finish. And I think if anything, that's the underlying word of our program this year is how you finish.
You can get your tickets at UNLVtickets.com. We're talking to Cordell Ford, the running backs coach for the Rebel football program. First home game is against Utah Tech, and the opener on the road against Houston. You can get 3-game packs. Single game tickets are up. Season tickets are up. Start as low as $150. Last one, and I'll counter a little bit what Willie was saying on Brennan Marion. My sense in what you guys got to run last year was that you really didn't get to run everything you wanted to, because I still feel like in the go-go that the edge is important for the quarterback and RPOs are important, and I thought Maiava did a good job, but he's a big guy. He can run a little bit. Tell me what the mix of quarterbacks, if we're talking about the two new guys, what they can do for you as a running back coach in terms of opening up the run game, because both of them can get downhill, and I think they're more true runners in Sluka and Haj Malik than, say, Maiava was.
No doubt. They are. I think they will add a lot to our offense. Anytime you can have a quarterback that can extend plays, and then you can also design plays, it keeps defenses honest, makes them have to play the whole field, and that certainly helps your run game. And so they are going to greatly help, you know, the running back position, the running backs out of the room. And I think the guys that we brought in, they bring a different dimension to what we did last year. So from that perspective, it's defense is going to have a little bit more to chew on, a little bit more to try to figure out what we're trying to present on the field. So it's going to be, I think it'll be an exciting.
Well, we're excited to see it. Excited to see you in a couple of weeks when camp opens up. Appreciate your time on this Friday, and we'll talk to you, okay?
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
There he is, Cornell Ford. Really, really productive run game a year ago. Finished, 17th in scoring overall, 39 rushing touchdowns, 166 yards per game. It was awesome last year. I think it has a chance to actually get better this coming season.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
We're going out to Oklahoma City in a couple minutes. So we're going to talk to Matt Nevert. We're just talking UNLV football. He's the voice of the Rebels, voice of the Aviators. So we'll get a preview of what's coming up this weekend and in the coming weeks with the Aviators. Willie loves the national days, so do I. Today is National Bikini Day, or this weekend?
Today.
Okay.
I'm wondering. I
was
wondering.
Who's going to complain about that?
Well, why wouldn't it have been yesterday? But I'm wondering if it's because, okay, we've now done the 4th of July. Everybody's done their barbecues, lake day, pool day, food eating concert, whatever. So now it's official, bikinis on out.
Yeah. I like when days don't mesh. Really?
Yeah.
They clash when you're like a weekend that includes National Bikini Day, but also tomorrow is National Fried Chicken Day. Like, those don't. I don't wear bikinis, and I don't wear whatever. What are they? Banana hammocks, whatever they are. The Speedos. But what's wrong?
I'm going to tell you. I have my thought process.
But if I were slim and trim, I don't know that I would feel great about eating fried chicken. I'm not slim and trim, so tomorrow I will feel really good about getting fried chicken.
Right, but if you are wearing a bikini,
yeah,
like let's just say that you are a bottle server, or you're a server in town, or you're just out at the pool.
Yeah.
You decide, okay, I'm going to go to the pool. I'm going to the Treasure Island pool, and you're in a bikini. That means that you spent the spring at the gym.
You're ready.
Your body's so you can. So tomorrow's your cheat day.
One fried chicken day is not going to break you apart.
No.
Okay.
I won't have it. Griffin can afford it, but I am currently in the middle of a plan.
Okay.
So
I
can't do it.
Yeah, if I could do the Speedos, I would. I'd have to go like Dusty Rhodes or like Nikolai Volkoff route.
Nice.
Where like somehow they got trunks where they got to pull them over their guts.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan kind of did that a little sometimes.
Hogan
the
has
big yellow ones.
Hogan as he got older, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're aged. You're still lifting.
Yeah. I'm not happy with myself right
you're
now.
You're not.
Well, I did
You look terrible.
I pulled off an incredible feat from December to the Super Bowl week for the new suits and then just let it all I almost put it all back on it. So I'm right now I'm not happy.
702-364-1100. That's our Finley Kia text line. Advice on where to get some fried chicken tomorrow. Because I think there's actually a debate here. Because, who was I with? Yesterday I was with my Korean Irishman friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a heck of a mix.
He's pretty unique. Because I don't know. Sometimes I'm not a big guy, right? And you're not a big guy. But I feel big in confidence. I don't feel small around. But every once in a while you step back. Like, if you look at our crew on Cofield & Company and sometimes at the station, I'm like, God dang, we got a bunch of guys who are like 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". Obviously, Griffin on the staff is, you know, whatever he is, 6'4", 6'5", 250.
Adam's a little fella.
Adam's a big fella. But, yeah, I was looking at my friend yesterday, and I'm like, hey, he's a big dude. He's probably around, I don't want to insult his weight, but I'll be nice and say like 260, but like 6'2", 6'3".
And he's Irish and Asian.
He's he's a Korean dude.
And Korean.
Yeah,
that would make.
Well, the whole point is we were talking about Korean fried chicken.
Okay.
And
He
was saying, well, you mean you know, Koreans kind of stole the concept from Americans, but I'm like, they're coming on strong, man. There are in Chinatown. There are so many.
Well, because
Korean
fried
chicken places.
I was going to say, if we're looking for suggestions, first of all, do you include fast food? Because
I think people are going to.
There's also like, for
although
instance,
I will say, I'll break in for a second. I have heard, and I've seen some pictures. They could be setups. I have heard that there's been amongst places that you can get fried chicken at. There's been a little shrinkflation. Prices are up.
Wow.
Breast smaller.
Keep going. Chicken katsu. Is that fried chicken or is that a delicacy?
Yes, it all counts because I also saw a special at a chicken place that was doing strips.
Okay.
Or nuggets.
So chicken wings
on the bone is the
are
best.
Going into the they're
yes.
going into the hot oil.
Why not?
So that's fried chicken. It's just not breaded.
Should we limit it to breading? I think we should limit it to breading. I think it has to be breaded.
I think it has to be like a KFC style. Or you know what? I'm going to tell you one of my favorite fried chickens. You ready for this?
Yes.
When back in the day, you could go to the grocery store and get like the 12 or however many pieces were like in the Swanson, but it had to be
Swanson, all right,
Swanson or Hungry, whatever they were,
sure, yeah.
But not the meals, but the actual chicken, and you put it on the cookie sheet and you put it in the oven, but you did it properly. You baked it for 45 minutes.
Right.
You pulled it out halfway. You turned it over. Some of those turned out really damn good. Because then you could pull it out and you could toss it in some hot sauce or some.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take your word on it. I'm not getting frozen dinners of it.
It's just.
It's not going to happen.
They're frozen. You're just heating it up.
That's not going to happen.
It's not happening. You want a fresh out of the oil.
I'm going.
I was just giving you a way out. That's all.
Okay.
But there are, you know where there are a couple places that I would go for fried chicken? Historic West Las Vegas, the West Side. Because they are going to serve up.
All right. Well, during the break, give me some names.
Grits Cafe is right. It's right off the top of my head. It's like one of the first places I'm going to go
okay.
for some good Southern food.
We'll spring this on Matt Neverett, who's in Oklahoma City. I don't know. I'm sure they have some fried chicken there. We'll spring it on him. But he's getting ready for an Aviators game. First pitch is in about an hour and 20 minutes. He's nice enough to give us a preview of the weekend. Talk a little Major League Baseball.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Our buddy Matt Neverett coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Willie's here, Willie Ramirez. It is Cofield. You heard it. Treasure Island. Come on down. Take advantage of some of the great specials. Reuben and a beer. Fish and chips and a beer. Mini pork bites. Multiple Loco Mocos. Last night, the Aces went 98-77 home game. 7 o'clock start on 4th of July. Woo! Okay. So did you see any of the war zone when you left the building?
I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go? Okay. So in the north, where you live, what was it like up there?
War zone.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I began sedating my dog earlier in the day.
What do you do to sedate it?
Well, here's what's wild. The year that he was born, he's born in March, nothing. The next year, he was kind of just looked around, but he was cool. Last year, he was shivering. So this year, what I did was every meal he had, I took some rotisserie chicken that I have put aside for him. You know, skinless, pull it all apart. And I peeled.
Only the best for your weightlifting dog.
Yeah, I peeled pieces of it, and I just took some, you know, anxiety pills that they had prescribed for him. I don't even remember for what. I think it might have been when he got sliced and lost his manhood. So I broke half of it, and I just rolled it in some chicken after breakfast, and then half one after lunch. And by the time dinner came, he was looking around, he was hearing it. The good thing was he didn't eat dinner, but the good thing was he wasn't shivering like he was last year. So he was too tired and too out of it to eat, but he was aware that what was going on. 12 o'clock, we wake up because we fell asleep watching – well, I fell asleep watching a movie. He fell asleep, and he gets up and he ate half of his dinner, but he was cool. But so anyway, yeah, here's the thing. Where I live, I don't know about the rest of the town, and pretty much anywhere in Vegas, I think, it's July 4th until July 15th.
Yep.
So –
well, you live on the northern edge of the town, really.
Yeah.
So there's more room out there, so you know people are going to go out there.
And
has gone further and further away from Vegas.
Yeah, and I don't know if Aliante still does a fireworks show. Now, where I live now, it wasn't built up a long time when I first moved to the northwest from the southwest. And there was a certain spot that you could pull down, like near Farm Road, somewhere around there. And you could actually pull off on the side road, and you could see the strip perfectly. Now it's all homes.
Right.
So there's really no edge of the town that you could see clearly down there. The only thing I could probably do is go to the gym and go to the second floor. There's a perfect shot of the skyline on one of the walkways.
Next year we're going to hang out. We'll bring a barbecue up there.
We'll do it all together.
98-77, Aces win.
Mm.
Kelsey Plum, another monster game offensively.
She was a firework.
What does she credit the explosion of late with or two? What do you think it is?
Well, she says that she recently learned the term psychological flexibility. And in her definition, it's the ability to adapt in every game and do whatever it takes to help the Aces win. So rather than question the role that she needs to play every game and look at it like, well, this year I need to get better at this. It's game by game. What needs to be done? Where do I need to fill in? And that tells me that she's now confident in every aspect of her game. Because 2 years ago, it was breaking out of the shell that sort of she was shoved into by Bill Laimbeer when he made her the sixth player of the team. Remember, she won sixth player of the year. Becky Hammon's first year, she told me, I asked her, you know, what'd you do with that trophy? She said, it's gone. I don't have that trophy anymore.
That first year, where did she play most? Was she on the ball when she came in?
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean as a rookie or with Becky?
As a rookie.
I don't remember. To be honest, she was in San Antonio.
I personally think she's flourishing, but you know, you're watching the games more than I am.
Yeah.
The fact that Chelsea Gray is back and is a point guard,
right.
Kelsey Plum gets to play off the ball. And well, I think that makes it so her, much that, yeah. that smaller amount of responsibility to run the offense
right.
can free things up for a pure scorer. And she is a great 3-point shooter, and I couldn't figure out why she was down shooting like 32% to open the season. I mean, I think part of it is clear. She's off the ball, and, you know, she gets to receive instead of having to make her own shot a lot of times.
Yeah, her and Jackie Young are both thriving with Chelsea Gray back because there's that one less responsibility of having to control the offense and then hope that one, because when Chelsea Gray's in, you just need to figure out who's hot and then feed both. And then if they're both hot, then the opposition's in trouble. So, you know, she's averaging 18.8 points per game, shooting 42.5% from the floor, 36% from three-point range. With Chelsea back, those numbers go up. She was averaging 18.8 on 37% shooting when Chelsea was gone.
Yep.
Now, since she's been back during this six-game win streak, Kelsey Plum is scoring 19 points per game on 51% shooting from the field.
Three-point range?
Three-point range. She's hitting 44%.
I mean,
during the six-game win streak.
That's a big jump up.
That's huge with Chelsea back in the game.
Yep.
But she's she's also playing defense at the other end. She's being stringent. She can now, her passes, like, she's thriving. Like last night, she talked about being able to thread a needle to Asia, and she credited Asia. She said Asia's got some of the best hands in the game. She loves, because she said, I threw that ball hard. She did her best impression of Tom Brady. She jumped and fired it in there. Credited Chelsea Gray in saying that she taught me how to look one way, pass the other, thread those needles. Point is, she's playing more confident because, yes, you're right, less responsibility in terms of picking up Chelsea Gray's role, both her and Jackie, because, again, whichever one might have been struggling those first 12 games in picking up that role, then Becky would be like, okay, no, you do this now, and then I'll have to take the pressure off. But then if they're both were struggling, look what's happening during those six losses.
So let me stretch this out to other WNBA situations. I have said probably since five games into the season, I don't understand why Caitlin Clark is playing on the ball all the time.
All the time.
She's a great shooter.
Yep.
Like, she may be the best three-point shooter in the history of women's basketball, but she's on the point.
Mm-hmm.
Why won't Christy Sides let someone else run the offense every once in a while? On top of that, we're seeing a lot of turnovers with her at the point. You should already be looking for other options at the point. Why doesn't she play the two? Why can they see this model? And I'm not saying they have a Chelsea Gray.
Right.
That's something special. Mm. Why can't they see what's going on here and give a break at the point so that she can play, Caitlin Clark can play on the wing?
Well, and I think that one thing that they learned, the first 11 games, it was too difficult to make all these changes and try to figure things out and watch game film, because you play 11 games in 20 days, especially if you're on the road. Even if the game's in 2 days, you're playing on the West Coast, then you're traveling, and then it's the next day, and then you gotta go. So they're doing a walkthrough. They're not even getting a full practice in. So in order for them to study what they're doing wrong or what needs to be done with adjustments, they needed that week off that they finally got after that 11 game gauntlet in 20 days, and they were off for five, and they actually got to practice. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I did a story on Aaliyah Boston, and that was the reason that I felt the Fever hit that little surge when they did. Like, her touches went up by four attempts per game. Kelsey Mitchell is their returning leading scorer. She is their veteran leader. That is who, in my opinion, the offense needs to run. Caitlin Clark, we could sit here and toot her horn and be like, yes, she's bringing more eyes. She's causing the audience. She's going to be great. She's going to be all that, yes. But right now we're seeing Diana Taurasi's prediction during the Final Four come true, where it's going to be a reality check. It was going to be rough coming in, and it was. Why not let your veteran control things? And that was where I think that she made the mistake, because once she committed to what Christy Sides, I'm talking about, did what she did at the beginning of the season, it proved to be chaotic. You can't turn back when we're going to make adjustments. What, overnight on the plane? Yeah, we're chartering, great, but it was chaotic. Now I think they have a better grasp, but here's the thing. Now everybody else is getting their time off to review game film and study the opponents and figure out what can who we can frustrate and who the better teams are. So everything's settling in. I'm going to be looking forward to who makes a race at the 6, 7, 8 seeds. And it's going to, Steve, I've said this with a couple of people. I've talked to WNBA people. I say it at the arena when I'm there. How fun is it going to be if the 8 seed comes down to the Chicago Sky and the Indiana Fever?
Right. I don't know if you saw this one, but I saw Monica McNutt was talking about sticking on the Caitlin Clark thing on Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
And Monica McNutt said that right now the Rookie of the Year has to be Angel Reese over Caitlin Clark because the Sky are in the playoffs. Like, wait a second. Is this going to be a fluid thing? The Fever are a half game behind. This is how we're deciding it. And by the way, so then that also means then if Rookie of the Year is decided by who's in the playoffs and who's not or who has a better record, then Asia Wilson has no shot to be the MVP. Has to be someone from the Liberty. They're 17-3. What are the rules on MVP? What are the rules on Rookie of the Year? Is it team results or is it individual outstanding play? Because the Liberty are, come on, Willie, at this point, what are the Liberty going to finish? Worst, 30-10?
Yeah, I don't think so.
What if the Aces go, 25-15? Sorry, then it's Stewie. Or if we want to go Jonquel Jones.
I don't think that – I think she made a mistake. I don't think that was the proper comparison and that should have been the reasoning. I don't think it's because it should be Chicago. Here's the thing. I wrote my quarter poll awards, and I have Angel Reese as the Rookie of the Year.
Right.
That was like a week or so ago. Just because of, and people are chirping way too much about, well – she's missing her own shot, so she's getting her own rebounds. Okay.
My favorite.
First of all, her percentage and her points that she's averaging, if she's averaging a double-double, she's averaging 13 points and 11 rebounds. If she wasn't averaging that and she was missing those shots, then you would make it an argument. You would make it a point to point out that, Jesus, that's your job, is to make those shots and you can't even do it. So now when she's making those shots, it's not fair that we're crediting her with making those shots. Okay, that's her job. Before they even got in the league, we talked about, well, how long is it going to take for Angel Reese to find her offensive game? Because all she has is that near the paint, she got to develop a mid-range game. Now that she's doing what we said that she was supposed to do, now we're discrediting her.
Again, this is another case of this insanity between the two of them.
Right.
Between fans who have picked a side.
Yep.
Angel Reese has been fine.
Yep.
She's been better, clearly, than the league thought. Frankly, the Sparks, who are going against the Aces tonight, blew it. And this is not because Cam Brink tore ACL. Angel Reese is the second-best player in the draft. And I said that at the time. I don't know how the hell she's slipping down to 7. She's better, and she's certainly better than, I think, Camila Cardoso will be in the long run. She has been really good, and she's going to add to her offensive game. But even in the lane, just operating like an absolute monster in the lane, she is devastating
in
this league.
Yeah.